Today on The Journey.
Is there anything that stands as an obstacle between you and God? Is there anything that is above God in your life? Is there anything that is before God in your life? Those are the things we've got to deal with.
What are you willing to give in order to have it all? Would you give everything you can't keep in order to gain a prize you can never lose? That's the decision one man in Scripture faced, and Ron Moore is here to tell his story so that you can choose wisely. First, I want you to know about Ron's free audio resource, The Solid Foundation. In this challenging sermon, you'll discover how to build a life that stands the difficult tests of time. The Solid Foundation is available at ronmoore.org, and I'll tell you more about it later this half hour. Now, here's Ron with the message, Counting the Cost on the Journey.
Pretense, pretending, is overwhelming. Just ask Manti Te'o, the standout Notre Dame linebacker, the Heisman runner-up, the captain and leader of a team that played for the national championship. During the season, the story came out of a very personal part of his life. It was reported that on the very same day, his grandmother and his girlfriend died. And on that day, Te'o played an emotionally packed, nationally televised game. And in the many interviews that followed, Te'o described the relationship with his girlfriend. But it turns out, his girlfriend never died. In fact, his girlfriend never existed. The relationship was through the internet and was all a pretense. Now questions are swirling about this bizarre story. Was it just a sick joke on Te'o? What part or parts did he know about? Whatever the case, pretense is overwhelming. At worst, it's pretty embarrassing. But what if a person lived their entire life and they thought they had a relationship with God, and at the end of the day, found out what wasn't true? That'd be more than embarrassing, wouldn't it? That would be eternally tragic. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 10 as we consider an encounter Jesus had with a young person who thought he was following hard after God. Jesus was on the road with his disciples when a man came up to him and put before Jesus his urgent question. The gospel writer Luke tells us that the man was powerful and rich. He was a ruler. Matthew tells us that he was young. And Mark says this rich young ruler came up to Jesus and fell on his knees before the Lord. And he asks him this question at the end of verse 17, chapter 10. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, I want you to picture just for a second this scene. The actions of this young man are beyond the box of our expectations. Normally, a powerful, young, rich man would show calmness and confidence and security. But underneath this man's expensive clothes and privileged life was an anxious heart and panic mode. Now, you have to wonder, what would cause such urgency in this man's life? Could be that someone in his family died and it was the first time he encountered death and the question, what happens after death? Maybe a close friend of his, another young wealthy man, died and he realized that life wasn't as certain as he thought. It could have been that he escaped some close call. Or maybe he was just reflecting one day and he looked around his life full of all this stuff, but he realized his heart was empty. You wonder what made him run up to Jesus. To everyone's surprise, this man who normally walked with an entourage emanating an air of confidence runs up to Jesus, falls on his knees, and trying to catch his breath says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, Jesus always knows the beginning from the end, doesn't he? He knows exactly what's going on in this man's heart. So he plants a truth that he's going to revisit a little later in the conversation. And at first, quite honestly, it sounds a little abrupt when Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." A couple things are going on there. First, Jesus knew that this man's definition of good was the culture's moral standard. His definition of good was the religious tradition. But Jesus is telling him good is in the perfection of the holy Creator. And Jesus also may be saying a little tongue-in-cheek, "You need to understand who you're talking to. I'm not just a good moral teacher." Now, the mindset of that day was that a person worked his or her way to God. They checked the religious boxes and they followed the moral code, and at the end of the day, they were good enough for God. Their performance purified their heart. And that's just not the mindset of that day. Most people surrounding us believe that you can work your way to God. You know it. They're in your family. They're your friends. They're the people you work with. Same mindset as this guy. That's the mindset of all the religions of the world. I can be good enough for God. I can get there if I just follow the set of standards. It's always amazing that Jesus meets us right where we are in order to take us where he wants us to be. He doesn't leave us there, but he meets us there. And so he met this man right where he was, steeped in Jewish tradition. So he says in verse 19, "You know the commandments. You know the answer to the question. Don't murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." Jesus goes to the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, by the way, are the summary of all the Old Testament law. And they're divided into two tables. So think of it like this. The first table are commands 1 through 4. And they deal with our relationship with God. So think of 1 through 4 as vertical commands. And then in the second table, commands 5 through 10 deal horizontally. So what table is Jesus dealing with here? Second table, right? Don't murder anyone. Don't commit adultery. Don't take anything from other people. Don't lie to other people. Don't cheat other people. Honor your father and mother. And when Jesus gives those commands, the rich young ruler is relieved. Look what he says in verse 20. "Teacher," he declared, "all these things I have kept since I was a boy." Probably referring to his bar mitzvah at age 13 when a Jewish boy became a man and was responsible for the law. You can just hear him say, "Man, I'm so glad of the answer that you gave. I've kept all those things. I've never killed anyone. I've never committed adultery. I've never stole from anyone. I got everything I need. I've never lied to anyone. I've never cheated anyone. I honor my mom and dad. I go to church most of the time." Again, this man believed what many believe today. On stage performance produces a blameless heart. Some of you believe that? On stage obedience to the moral culture. On stage obedience to religious requirements. Checking the spiritual boxes. This rich young ruler was relieved. He was getting ready to go. He was getting ready to say something like, "Thank you, good teacher. I'm sorry I came and dove in front of you like that. I'm a little embarrassed by that now. You told me exactly what I wanted to hear. I don't know what came over me. I know I'm fine." But right before those words came out of his mouth, Jesus is going to say something to this man to show him that all along he has bought into a religious hoax, a pretense. Look at verse 21. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus felt for this man who bought the pretense. Jesus felt for this man who had fallen into the hoax. And he said, "One thing you lack." Can't you imagine that stopped him in his tracks? He thought he was good to go. "I've kept all the commandments since I was a boy. One thing I lack." What do you mean? Look at verse 21. Jesus said, "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." Quite a request, didn't it? What would you have done? Now really, what would you have done? Go sell everything you have. Don't keep any of the proceeds. Give it all to the poor. 1 minute, you got it all. The next minute, you got nothing except me. Come and follow me. Now, at first glance, we would say, well, Jesus is just adding to the works, right? Here's what you go do, and then you can be good enough. That's not what's happening here. You remember Jesus started with the second table, the horizontal. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this to other people. And the guy said, "Got it." But now Jesus goes to the first table of the law. He goes to the first commandment of the first table, where God says, "I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me." You see, this man had based his relationship with God on performance. He made the statement, "I have kept all the commandments." And Jesus says, "Great, here's one. Is there anything between you and God? Is there anything you're holding back? Go sell it all. Follow me." Jesus was moving from the horizontal to the vertical, and he was showing this man that indeed he had not kept the commandments at all. He hadn't even kept the first one. He couldn't even keep the first one. How about you? Is there anything holding you back from full out following Christ? Is there anything keeping you back from a relationship with the living God? Verse 22, at this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Think about the offer that Jesus gave this guy. Follow me. Be one of my disciples. The opportunity outweighed the cost. Don't miss the contrast in this guy's person. Running up to Jesus, all enthused, out of breath. "I got to know the answer to eternal life. Oop, now I know the answer." And he walked away sad. His face fell. The gospel writer Mark wasn't one of the 12. He got his content from Peter. He was a close associate with the apostle Peter. During Peter's life, he heard Peter preach. And just imagine as they're traveling, Peter telling all the stories. Most commentators believe that Mark was with Peter in Rome and during Peter's last days before he was put to death. Can't you just hear Peter telling the story as he saw it firsthand, up close, personal? He said, "Mark, you should have seen the look on Jesus' face. Jesus loved this guy. He said, 'Come follow me.' He would have been part of the group. And Mark, he didn't ask this guy to do anything differently than he had asked us to do. We had left everything to follow Jesus, but Mark, this guy couldn't do it. He had a lot of money, and he couldn't leave it. The issue, Mark, was not him having money. The issue was he was depending on his money for security and confidence and peace. But he couldn't leave it either. And Mark, I've never seen a guy's face change like that. It just fell, and he walked away. And we never saw him again. Mark, he was so close. I don't know what happened to the rich young ruler. We're not told in Scripture. But don't you believe that guy thought about that encounter with Jesus every day for the rest of his life? And don't you think one day, when his short life was over, and he was in his last hours, and he was lying on his nice silk sheeted bed, surrounded by all the things money could buy, and he knew in just a matter of minutes he would be face to face with eternity, don't you think he may have lived with a little regret and felt the same panic that caused him to go and fall in front of Jesus? Life is short and eternity is long. And anyone not willing to give up anything to follow Jesus, that person's going to live in remorse and regret. While the disciples were watching this man walk away, Jesus was looking at the disciples and he was checking out their expressions. And in verse 23, Jesus looked around at them and he said to his disciples, don't you think he has their attention, by the way? He says, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Verse 24, the disciples were amazed at these words because in their culture, if you were a good Jewish person and you held to the religion of the day and you did all the commandments, wealth was a sign of God's blessing. So they were amazed. Rich, wait a minute, rich equals blessing. What do you mean how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. Don't miss the exclamation mark. Now he puts it to everybody, how hard it is for anybody to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed, and they said to each other, we're toast then. Who can be saved? Look at verse 27. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible with him. Salvation, Jesus says, is not based on performance. You can't keep the second table of the law. You can't even keep the first table of the law. You can't even keep the first command of the law on your own. It is impossible. It would be like trying to thread a big old camel through the eye of a sewing needle. It's not hard. It's not challenging. It cannot be done. And anyone who thinks it can be done, anyone who buys that lie, anyone who believes that hoax, they are believing a sick joke. And anyone who perpetuates that by saying, yeah, you work your way to God, pretense. With man it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. He made it possible by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for our sins. Jesus came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. We can't work our way to God. On our best day, we can't work our way to God. So Jesus came to do all the work for us. Jesus came sinless, God in the flesh, coming to die for sinful man. And on the cross, he paid the penalty for our sin, completing the work. We can add nothing to it. And the only way we can have a relationship with God is trusting in Jesus Christ alone. And if you believe you can work your way to that, then you are believing a hoax. With man is impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. He has made it possible through his Son, Jesus Christ. So here's the first thing. If you're here today and you believe that some baptism when you were a baby that you don't remember made you a Christian, you're believing a hoax. If you believe some class you took when you were 13 years old made you a Christian, you're believing a hoax. If you think that there is some way you can work your way to God, and at the end of the day, put your good deeds here and your bad deeds here and hope your good deeds outweigh your bad, that is a sick, eternal joke. That's not embarrassing, guys. That's tragic. But God has made a relationship with him possible through Jesus Christ. Now let me talk to one other group. So Peter, after this is over, he says, wait a minute. We've left everything to follow you, Jesus. What's in it for us? And Jesus said, I tell you the truth. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and fields, and with them sometimes persecution. And in the age to come, the bonus, eternal life. For the believer, the issue of this story is this question. What's holding you back from really following Jesus? Not just pretending, not just talking about it. What's holding you back from a full-out following of Jesus Christ? Let's go back to commandment number one. Is there anything that stands as an obstacle between you and God? Is there anything that is above God in your life? Is there anything that is before God in your life? Those are the things we've got to deal with. What is standing in your way of full-out following Jesus?
Please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. How sturdy are the underpinnings of your spiritual dwelling? When the winds of adversity blow and floods of disappointment rise, will your house stand? It will, if it's built upon the bedrock truths outlined in Ron Moore's audio resource, The Solid Foundation. In this challenging message, Ron shares the 4 reasons a firm footing is necessary for a strong spiritual residence. He also takes a look at the 3 biblical virtues that are required to meet the heavenly building codes. Learn and follow them so that you can withstand the inevitable storms of life. Your free copy of The Solid Foundation is available on CD or as an MP3 download with a visit to ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org, or you may call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
Jesus said, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God." When a person plowed in that day, they would find a point at the end of the field and they wouldn't take their eyes off of that point because they were guiding the oxen. So they had to make sure the furrow was straight. If the furrow was crooked, they couldn't plant as many crops. So it's critical that they had a straight furrow. And that's what Jesus is saying here. You can't follow me and always be looking back. You can't follow me and have 1 foot in the world. You got to keep your eye on me. So I don't know if you're really following Christ or not. Maybe you like the Christian stuff. You like those cool hymns like How Great Thou Art. That's cool. As long as you're obedient to that great God when you leave.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And remember that a free copy of Ron Moore's audio resource, The Solid Foundation, is waiting for you on CD or as an MP3 download at ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. And watch for the discipleship materials from this series coming this fall. Have you missed one of Ron's messages or series? Well, you'll find them when you click the broadcast button at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind, the journey relies on your generous gifts to pay for the airtime that makes this broadcast possible. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.